Okay, so we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. Can we please rise for the pledge first?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Executive Director / Secretary, could you take the roll, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Director Zimmer.
Here.
Director Garfinkel.
Here.
Director Alternative Hutchinson.
Here.
And Chairperson Ohilski.
Present. Okay, so we'll open up with board member comments. We'll start over.
I have none.
I have no extra comments.
None.
Well, that went quick. Okay, so that takes us to the consent agenda. Does anybody want to pull an item?
No.
Nope. Okay. All right, seeing none, then we'll go ahead and take public comment on the consent agenda, which is there's two items on that, 5A, which is the approval of the minutes from the March 15th, 2017 meeting, and approval of the warrants, budget update, and invoice register through April 2017. Any public comment? Okay. Seeing none, we'll close public comment and bring it back to the committee.
Seeing as I wasn't here for the March meeting, I'll abstain on those minutes.
I'd like to make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
Okay, so we have a motion to approve. Any more discussion? Or any discussion, I guess. All right, seeing none. All in favor on, we'll split the vote here. So on A, which is the approval of the minutes, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, three in favor and one abstention, and then the approval of the warrants, budget update, and invoice register, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, passes unanimously. So with that, then, we'll move to item number six, which is the executive director's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You have my written report in front of you, and I'll just highlight a few items. Just to remind the committee with respect to funding, the last time we talked about the special tax measure that we had budgeted for this year in terms of administering that and pursuing it, at this time, at least to date, the committee's felt that it wasn't the appropriate time to ask the community for a two-thirds vote for a special tax. I did want to give a brief update into the LOCSD's situation and financial perspective because it relates to this item. The district recently went out for a Prop 218 notice and has scheduled a public hearing for June 15th to adjust its water rates to account for its full share of the basin management plan's projects. And to date, the board has received quite a bit of community input, and both of our working committees agreed that having rates in place that would support our infrastructure commitments on the basin plan would be a prudent thing at this juncture. And so you can expect to hear an update at your next meeting, but we'll be conducting a rate hearing on June 15th if you're interested in coming out and listening. And if those rates are put in place, the district would be in a position to fund not only its Program A projects, but also its portion of the Program C projects. So we think that's important.
Does anybody have any questions on that? Okay, Rob.
Great. Got a little brief update into the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, or SGMA, compliance. Just to remind the committee and the public, the adjudicated area within our basin is not subject to SGMA specifically. It was exempted as part of the law. But there are areas on our fringe, which we call the fringe area, that is within Department of Water Resources definition of what our Los Osos groundwater basin is, and yet they're not within the adjudicated area. and the county has taken the lead on handling those areas and making sure they comply with SGMA. And they have formed a sustainable groundwater management agency over that area, and will be moving forward on the preparation of a sustainability plan. They also will be gathering data to take another run at the boundary modification in early 2018. I'm sure Mark can give us any further updates there, but the county's handling that on behalf of the fringe areas.
Any questions, comments on?
Nope. So just to clarify, the GSA boundary and the adjudicated boundaries, they didn't line up, is that right? And then
correct.
DWR, but they recognize that, and that's being addressed, is that, or corrected? And I missed how we were
resolving
that.
Yeah, I can take a first shot at that. So when we defined the basin and the basin management plan, we excluded some of the areas of very shallow alluvium on the boundary, areas that were included in the DWR determination bulletin 118. We went for a basin boundary modification and told DWR, here's why we excluded them and here's all the technical basis. And they didn't approve that. They said, no, we want that 20 foot of alluvium included. And so that left some areas not covered, and the county has stepped in and is going through the steps, formed the agency on time, and then we'll be taking another run at getting that boundary adjusted. If I said that right, Mark.
Yeah, and then I thought there was further feedback from DWR that what we were even trying to adjust, they had some questions on that or something. Was there additional?
I don't think too much questioning on, on the adjustment. What DWR gave us was pointers on additional technical information that mm-hmm. they felt would be needed to support determination that there's either two basins, one being the sub-basin of the other, and or that the eastern area is a low priority basin and doesn't require action under SGMA.
Okay. Is the so the county is going to address the issues of that the DWR gave to us as far as what we have to answer to get it?
Yes, that's the county's work effort is to produce that additional technical information.
Okay.
Although it's not set yet, DWR has indicated that there'll be another window for applying for adjustments to the Bulletin 118 boundaries. That's the basin boundaries they established back decades
right,
ago.
Yeah.
So the goal is to get that work done and then make that retry the boundary question issue.
Yeah, I understand that they're going to do that in 2018.
Right.
Review the boundaries. Okay.
2018.
Okay, thank you. Just to appreciate the county moving forward with the GSA and take care of that.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, so you can move on to chromium.
Oh, yeah. This was very interesting. I've actually been following this. Hexavalent chromium is, for folks in the audience, is a contaminant that has been regulated for a number of years in drinking water. It was previously regulated as the total amount of chromium in the water, and there was an allowable level of 50 parts per billion historically, and those of us who are water professionals have been complying with that. Recently, the state targeted a certain type of chromium called hexavalent chromium and dropped the allowable level from 50 down to 10. So it was a very challenging standard to meet. In Los Osos, we do have trace amounts of hexavalent chromium in many of our wells, both upper and lower. It's naturally occurring, and there are man-made sources as well, so the exact sources are not known. The district, for its part, had one of our oldest wells and most faithful wells. The Third Street Upper Aquifer well had a hit on hexavalent chromium 2 years ago, and was one part per billion over the limit. So the new limit was 10, and we were at 11. So we had to shut that well down because the cost of treatment is quite expensive. This situation was replicated throughout California in many water systems, many small water systems, and they subsequently formed a coalition and brought a lawsuit against the state questioning whether the state went through the due diligence process in determining that appropriate level of looking at financial feasibility. And the court just determined that the state did not do that adequately and that they now have to go back and reconsider whether it's financially feasible to hit that 10 microgram per liter limit. And so we're not sure where this leaves us. The state still hasn't released clear direction, but it could be such that our district's Third Street well could resume pumping. We're actually testing it now, and it's below the limit right now after the rain. And so we're hopeful on that, but wanted to bring this to the attention of the committee because a number of our wells have this contaminant in the well.
But isn't it, it's my understanding that while the court order allowed suppliers to pump water under the old measurement, is that correct?
That's what I understand, but we're not in a hurry to test that till we receive some specific written direction from Division of Drinking Water staff. Want to be sure. I don't know if Golden State has any wells that are in this situation, but
none that went over, at least in this area. So
okay. Excuse me. So and go to the wastewater project flow and connection update.
Thank you. A brief update, which we've been doing monthly on the Los Osos wastewater project. That 87% of the lateral connections have been completed, so we're really down to it here on those final connections. And you've seen some of that in the press lately. And flows are up a bit, still averaging around 450,000 gallons per day. So whether we hit the 500,000 mark on average, we'll see. But we're just about there. County continues to meet the discharge requirements, and all the water is currently going to the Broderson percolation site, though the county is working on recycled water agreements with various parties to get recycled water delivered. And, Mr. Chair, that concludes my report.
Any questions about the connection?
Not on the connections, but on the Broderson, have we yet on the wells that around that area detected whether they it's coming down?
Not yet.
Okay.
So it's either going straight down. It's going to take a while for that mound to build. A lot of people thought maybe a year. So maybe by next September we'll start to see a little water showing up in those monitoring wells.
Okay. That's the timeline that we anticipate seeing. Is about a year? Because I thought it was longer than that we were going.
Well, this is right on the boundary of the disposal area.
Oh, okay.
I mean, this isn't down gradient. That could take a long time. This is just seeing any mound at all. I mean, those wells are what they have been for years. So,
but the ground around where we're putting all that water in is there's no evidence of any problems in the Broderson area.
I'll defer to the county on that, not that I'm aware of.
No, we haven't detected any sign surfacing or any of those. No issues like that at all.
Great.
And I may have misunderstood this, but when Bruce was at our CSD meeting, last meeting, I thought that he indicated that actually there was slightly more connections than these numbers, that they had been...
We're seeing connections. It's tapering off quite a bit from the Phase 3 group. Down, we went from 6 to 10 a week. That deadline was March 18th.
Right.
Of course, there's contractor backup and whatnot. And that's gone down to 3 or 4 now as contractors finishing out. Obviously, everyone who missed their connection deadline's been notified of that. And I think at the last time we mentioned this to the board, we're sending on a date at some point in August, likely, to have a discussion with the board about next steps with folks. And between now and then, we'll send out a fourth letter to everyone who hasn't connected, trying to remind them and also get some information and feedback as to what the situation might be.
Okay. That it? So can we take public comment on the executive director's reports? Okay, or we can move on to item 7. 7A, the update on the status of the Basin Plan Infrastructure Project.
Oh, Mr. Chair, I think you have a...
Did you ask for public comment?
That's what I just did, yes.
No, I've done.
Yep.
Thank you.
One, we wanted to ask about this fringe area, and I guess I need to understand the fringe area is alluvial. Water goes down there, and then there's an idea that it does connect with our basin, or at some point it did. Maybe it's now got boundaries on it. Why would they not need to be managed for their groundwater, because that's, I see so much farming going on out there, and they're using a huge amount of water. And whether we are connected or not, I just wonder if you can address a little bit about what happens if they go dry. And what is the cost of going in again, trying to get the boundary modification done? I wonder if you have a cost of what it cost last time, because I'm sure it was legal fees, et cetera. Another question that I still don't understand and I think would be important is how much water is available in the upper aquifer. We talk about a lot of water eventually getting there, and the possible use of that upper aquifer certainly makes more sense than using drinking supply to flush toilets. So I also wondered if there's any proof or security that the Broderson disposal site is the best use of that full 450 gallons a day. I see that other communities are disposing of their purple pipe water in riverbeds and places where it can actually percolate and then be cleaned as it goes down, and it can be reused from upper aquifer wells. That's it.
Thank you. Anybody after Richard? Okay, you'll be the last public comment.
Richard Margetson. Rob, you said 450,000 gallons a day. The plant was originally designed for 1.2, 1.3 million. If all the connections happen this year, do you have an estimate of what the daily flow will be? And then if there's full build-out, what the daily flow will be and how much under the 1.2 million originally designed for? And then, if I understood it correctly, all of the flow is going to Broderson now. At what point in the hierarchy of priorities would water go to the dryland farmers? Will they be after the schools, which is part of the plan for the CSD rate structure to garner revenue from the disposal through the school, through the schools. I think you know where I'm going. I'll leave it at that.
Okay, thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none now, we'll close public comment. Rob, you want to respond to those questions, please?
Sure. I think it was a good question on the basin fringe. If you can imagine those fringe areas as, you know, we have this big bowl, which is our basin. I'm oversimplifying. And the fringe areas would be the very edge of the thin edge of the bowl. So they're pumping, though it could be somewhat connected to the basin, is in that very shallow alluvium. And they really just affect themselves because they're on the very edge. And whatever they pump, they pump. But it doesn't affect the majority of the bowl, though they are, you know, in our watershed, I guess you could say. But the county will be actively involved in making sure they are managed under the requirements of SGMA. And so I hope that answers the question. In the case of the upper aquifer water volume, we do have estimates of that come out in our annual reports. Just wanted to note, though, that the actual number in terms of volume is not necessarily the most meaningful number. Really, it's the annual yield, water flowing in and flowing out. That's the more meaningful number, but we will have that number reported in our annual report, probably at our next meeting, which will be a June meeting. We'll be meeting next month. And then proof that Broaderson is the best use, based on the previous studies, the best use of recycled water is actually to serve it to urban customers and then reduce the amount of water that's extracted from wells. That's the highest and best use. And previous estimates had put that benefit at about 55% in terms of how much seawater intrusion benefit you would get out of urban recycled water use. Broaderson was viewed as the next best thing in the studies, but they're based on modeled results. And then for Richard, yes, around 450,000 gallons per day currently. When they're done with all the connections, I'd estimate that we're going to be maybe at 500,000, maybe up to 550, somewhere in there. Flows are a little higher on the weekends. And then at build out, perhaps you're adding another 150,000 gallons a day of flow. So maybe you're at 650 or 700. So unlikely that we'll reach some of those design numbers at this point. As to the dryland farmers, I'll let Director Hutchinson comment on that. I know from a seawater intrusion benefit, it's better to have the urban reuse as a higher priority. I think that would be the county's perspective.
Yeah, I can follow up with the it's important to note that the coastal development permit contains those priorities based on benefit to the basin. So the intent through the recycled water management plan is to use the water that way. So there's just a number of efforts ongoing right now to get the recycled water permit issued. One of those is the salt and nutrient management plan that we'll hear about today. We're also working with the water companies to deliver the water to them so they can serve their turf customers with it. And also that connection between Monarch Grove and the golf course to switch the golf course off of Monarch Grove wastewater, Monarch Grove to the county wastewater, essentially replace one with the other so that we can serve those high priority uses. Although you have to note that when we look at the amount of water that the schools use for turf irrigation in total, does not come up to, in total of what's available, a very big number. So that puts the golf course up into a higher priority for that reason. Although, again, their irrigation wells purportedly are not in the lower aquifer. Right. So we'll continue to, in that vein, follow state law and regulations use of recycled water to continue to identify high priority uses over the others.
Great.
Anything else? Okay, Rob, now we'll move on to Item 7A, which is update on the status of the basin plan infrastructure projects.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We've kept this as a standing item, and I think that's prudent. Perhaps I can focus briefly on the progress made on the projects where they have active work. As we reported last time, we do have a functioning, brand-new interconnection between the Los Osos CSD and the Golden State system. And so if you drive by that on 11th Street, you'll know that's looking much, much better than it was. The district's 8th Street Upper Aquifer Well is a Program A project, a very important project for us because it will deliver approximately 100 acre-feet of upper aquifer to the water to the district system, which is nearly 20% plus of the district's total water supply allocation annually. That well was drilled and cased in December of 2016, and we're currently out. We have an RFP out for design services to equip that well and to begin pumping it into our system with proposals due in June. So we expect that well to be up and running by June 2018 or earlier if we can, so we're making steady progress on that district project. Golden State reported that on their nitrate removal unit, which was subject of some of our previous discussions, permits are in place, construction is proceeding, They're out there doing physical work. The unit has been procured and is ready for installation, and we're looking at startup a little ahead of schedule from what we previously reported to the committee, possibly as soon as August of this year. So Golden State's getting the award for the fastest mover here. In terms of the Program B projects, we did want to note that while Program B was identified for future development or if we needed further measures after Program C, Golden State's new nitrate removal system does bridge into Program B. And so we're able to, at some point, expand that unit if necessary to deliver more denitrified upper aquifer water to the system. For Program C, Golden State is in the final equipping phase of its expansion well, and that will be up and running next month, so they're very close on that. And then we have a number of properties in play that we're looking at for Program C. I don't want to go into fine detail there because of the nature of those discussions, but I'm hoping within the near term you'll be hearing about specific properties there. The district's authorized its staff to assist in the environmental review process for those Program C projects. And I did want to note that in the parties involved column, you really should be adding LOCSD to the involved parties because we are actively pursuing a Program C well. Moving on to Program M for monitoring. I just wanted to get on your radar screen that at some point we do need a new monitoring well in the Cuesta by the Sea area. And so as we look at our annual budgets and our allocation of funds, given that we've applied for grant funds for that well but have not been successful to date, we might think about eventually biting that off as a BMC project if we're able to find savings in other parts of our budget. So be thinking about that, particularly if we don't spend the dollars on the 218 process this year. We'd sure like to get a data point right there in Cuesta by the Sea where we don't know where seawater sits in that zone. And that concludes my report.
Any questions? Okay, this is our regular meeting update. So does anybody have any public comment on this item? Okay. Oh.
My name is Chuck Cicinia, and I just wanted clarification on Program C. The expansion well number 2, it's listed as a Golden State well, but under status, it talks about CSD's efforts to acquire property, look at property. And so I just wondered, are we planning on joint use of that well if we eventually put one in there? And what is meant by pending a funding vote? Was this part of the recent raise in rates that Golden State customers are experiencing? That was that the pending funding vote? I just want some clarification on that. And as far as Program M, I fully support taking that money from the 218 process if we're not going to proceed with that. And it looks like the districts, the water purveyors, are the ones moving ahead with projects. I don't see a BMC effort to do that. So take that money and put it towards that monitoring well so that we have something to balance the well data point over at
Pasadena,
yeah, that shows salt water's coming in. We've been talking about the fingers coming in at the production points, but we need a picture of the overall front coming in, too. We need that other well. Thank you.
Thank you. I have to say this because we're out of here at 4, so if anybody wants to speak, you need to really get up in line here, okay,
yeah,
so we can help expedite things. Thank you. Okay, Lindy.
Could you explain the current status of the 218 vote? It sounds like we may not be doing it because the purveyors are charging it. I'd like an update. Thanks.
Okay. Wait. Any other public comment? Okay. All right, Rob.
Thank you, Mr.
Chair. Public comment.
With respect to Program C, Chuck Sassini was correct. LOCSD should have been also listed in the responsible parties there. We'll get that corrected. And I think we're open to discussions, and discussions
that's
will be on...
That's expansion well number two.
Expansion well number two.
Correct, okay.
We're open to discussions of shared use of any of those resources. We have a function in an intertie, and so we'll be looking for the best technical solution there when that final site location is determined. That was always contemplated in the basin plan. As to the status of the funding vote, at this time, I think the committee's, in looking at what's happened in other areas of the county, has thought that going out for a two-thirds special tax maybe wasn't good timing on that to do that now. And that's why, at least for the district's water system, we're looking to self-fund our share of those projects. It doesn't mean that we won't do that at some point. It's just the committee's not felt that that's a timely thing to be doing right now. And then as far as the Golden State's rate case, you could certainly talk to that, Mark, when you're ready to do that.
I think in response to that comment for the Well 3, where it says the pending funding vote, we just may want to change that.
Yeah, I think so.
Because it's really at this point going to be cooperative funding through the water purveyors.
Yeah.
Did you have a comment on Lindy's question?
Did I miss a Lindy question?
I thought so.
I thought she just asked for a status update on the funding vote. Did I miss one?
Okay, that was. All right. Then we'll move to 7B, which is the update and discussion of the Los Osos Community Plan. You're going to put that up on the screen, correct, Rob?
Yeah, I'm going to blow it up to...
We've gone over, just for background information, we've reviewed and talked about this draft letter for a couple of meetings now, so hopefully we're in the final stages right now. I know Bruce had some direction that he gave us on how he thought it was most appropriate to phrase the letter. He's unfortunately not here, but I think Mark can step in on that. So, Rob?
Yeah. You have a copy of the letter in front of you, and last time we reviewed it, and the parties wanted to have a chance to do a little bit of redlining, and you have a redline version at your as part of your package. The initial paragraph edits that are shown there I think are pretty straightforward, and it's just a little preamble for the planning department folks who would be receiving this letter. Staff felt that this particular update was acceptable and vanilla. I did want to focus in at the end of the document to something maybe a little more substantive. We have a couple of alternative versions provided by various staff members, and I will show those to you. That green may not show too well for us. So we received one red line comment. I think this came from Director Garfinkel, asking that these two principles be included in the letter. Future development within the Los Osos Basin should be incremental and only occur after meeting the basin's plan's immediate goals, as listed above. Sustainable water supplies are identified to support growth. There's a suggestion of some alternative language to those one and two, and that's provided there in green, which I'm going to change that color because I'm sure you all cannot read it.
I'm pretty sure you're right.
We'll make it nice and black. Better. Spirit of this particular language is similar to the items one and two above. So I would leave
Rob,
it to
Rob, where did that language come from? Could I?
This, I think Bruce wrote this primarily.
So the red up above came from Bill.
From Bill.
Okay. I just wanted to get some context for these comments.
So, you know, it's always a bad idea to do a lot of wordsmithing at a public meeting. But
That's why we haven't gotten this letter done yet.
Right. To the extent that you can choose either one of these two options, we actually might be able to do this here in committee. If not, we'd be happy to bring this back. But at this point, we're looking to perhaps adopt the three items below, since they were in response to the briefer language. So if the committee has no problem with those 3 points and the language thereon, we'd be ready to wrap up this letter and take action.
Okay. Do we have any questions? Because we have to go to public comment on this before we... Any questions?
Oh, no questions. I just comment. I went through those three alternatives to my alternatives, and item one there says what I said, but in a lot more words. I prefer brevity on things, but I could live with the number one as a substitute for my number one. And on number two, I didn't think that really, when we bring in the coastal commission, they're going to obviously, there's no doubt they're going to get involved in anything we do for expansion, so that may not be necessary to have that item two. And item three, which is kind of to my item two, is again says in a lot of words what I said in a very short statement. So I still prefer the short, to the point versions, but I could live with the changes.
Okay. All right. So we'll open up for public comment on this item.
I kind of agree with the shorter versions, and I really I don't like this basin. In number one, basin management plan provides an accurate and achievable estimate of water supply that halts and reverses seawater intrusion. That sounds like paper water again, and I prefer that we know for sure that we have the water, not that the basin plan is going to give us an achievable estimate. So I would remove that line for sure. But anyway, I like the shorter ones.
Thank you. Any other comments? Yeah, Jeff.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, board members, or committee members. My name is Jeff Edwards, and it appears there's some internal inconsistency with this under number one, where there's reference to halting and reversing seawater intrusion. Under your status of basin infrastructure programs, it reads halt and, to the extent possible, reverse seawater intrusion. So the idea that we're going to halt it and reverse it, I think, is not appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay, and we'll bring it back. I'm going to lead off because I haven't said anything yet, but appreciate the brevity comment, but I really like the expanded comments better, because I think referring back to the document, you're expecting somebody to be able to do that. I think it's much simpler if it's right there, bang, bang, bang. And I sort of agree with both Jeff and Julie's comments. So that regarding, and that both of their comments refer to that second sentence in Bruce's number one there. But from my perspective, I'm fine with Bruce's. So you want to piggyback on that? We'll go this way this time. We've been going this way. Now we're going this way.
Yeah, looking at and I would agree with Bill a little bit that they essentially say the same thing. But the idea that the reader doesn't have to go back and read the source document is always a good approach, and it also reinforces the previous part of the letter. It does occur to me that in red number two, the focus on sustainable water supplies is a concept, a thought that should be added at some point, perhaps in the black number one, if we could squeeze that phrase in just to emphasize that point and emphasize the point that what we're trying to say is this link between the basin management plan, the modern version of SGMA, and our growth ordinance or land use ordinance needs to be as strong as possible.
I think in that regard, maybe it's more, if we're going with the longer version, it's that last phrase in the last sentence of number three where that would be more best incorporated in. Mm. I think we could put the sustainable water supply in that last sentence in three. Because it talks about the adequacy of water supply, and I think we could just say the adequacy of a sustainable water supply or some language to that effect.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Okay, Bill.
As I kind of said in the beginning, I could live with those changes, and I'm glad you pointed out bringing that sustainable down, because that's really important. That we look at the water isn't going to be just for 1 year and then we suddenly have a problem again. We have to make sure that it'll be sustainable even in drought years.
Last but not least, I hope.
Yeah. So we're looking to approve this right now, to work through this, and you know, I'm a little reluctant to do that just because there could be sections pulled out of this at some point that, you know, I wanted to stick with the abbreviated version and I thought gave us some ability. The number two, just not really sure why that is need. Why is the need for that to be in there from our perspective of a letter was one of my concerns.
From our conversations in previous meetings, I don't know how to put this politically correct, but since the Coastal Commission needs to be involved in the process and we need their cooperation, I think pointing that out as a distinct item sort of helps. I don't know how else to put it.
Carrie's
laughing, so she knows where I'm coming from.
is really to get the Coastal Commission or be able to point back to something. So if the area plan, the local coastal plan, identifies future infrastructure projects in the plan, then when you get right down to the infrastructure projects, the Coastal Commission's ability to make inappropriate modifications is, I'll say, theoretically reduced. Now that I said that out loud, it's a feel-good because the Coastal Commission is going to do whatever they're going to do. But at least we can point to that when we storm out of the room, I suppose. But that's really what that is get the thought in front of the Coastal Commission
that they're via being the involved LCP. They're being involved in the process, and we're not overlooking them.
And there's part of that, too.
So, and then I would like to see us go ahead and approve this with the alternative language, which is maybe beefing up that last sentence in three and deleting the last sentence in one. That would be...
I'd be happy to do that.
Because we've been talking about this, and I think it's really timely that we need to get this moving forward at this point. And everybody had the opportunity over the last 2 months to redline the letter, so...
But we didn't see that.
The new language there we have not seen. So that's why I'm saying if we delete that sentence and then just beef up that last sentence in three, I'm fine with it.
That makes sense to staff, and we can make that change.
Can you? You're going to do it now? Okay, good.
I'd like to. Let's see if it will. It didn't give me track changes. Well, I will highlight it and say it's coming
do
out.
Do a strike through.
There you go.
Yeah, just strike through.
There, we'll highlight it as coming out. And the minutes will reflect it.
And then that last sentence in three, it does talk about the monitoring visions can confirm the adequacy, but I think that has to be... I'm just not comfortable with the can confirm. I mean, the Sustainable water supply must be available is where I'm coming from.
How about must confirm instead of can confirm?
Can we add the results into the end of the letter? Would that be helpful to show the results of where we're at today and give them some indication of what we see?
That's what the committee struggled getting closure on in previous meetings.
Yeah.
Would the word must be sufficient there? Or the rate of growth must be set so that the monitoring provisions of the basin plan confirm, take out can.
Yeah, just take the word can out, yeah.
Can being superfluous. So the change would be...
If you say the rate of growth must be set...
So that the monitoring of the basin plan
confirms
disobeying my own rule not to wordsmith in a public meeting. How's that?
I think that so the yellow part we'll take out and then we'll go with that. I'm fine with that.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Then I would make a motion that the Basin Management Committee accept the letter or send the letter as we've modified in our meeting.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Unanimous. I know. Rob was expressing amazement. Okay, so then we have item 7C, which is a review and discussion of the spring 2017 monitoring data.
Yeah. And I want to thank Cleith Harris Geologists for getting me some early data here. We're constantly pressing them for quicker and quicker information. Last time it took a lot longer than a few weeks to get it in front of the public. Just give me a minute while I find this in the agenda package and I'll flash it up on the screen. Just to remind the community, we are currently reviewing monitoring data on a twice-a-year basis, biannual basis. So we have both spring and fall monitoring results available. When we do an annual report, we're always looking back a full year in arrears. So next month when you see the 2016 annual report, it will not contain this data, which is a source of constant confusion but necessary. So as soon as we have new information, we want to bring it forward for discussion and consideration. And so this is data from the April sampling that we just completed about a month ago,
right,
if that makes sense. So two pieces of information that we're providing here. One is information with respect to water levels in the deep aquifer wells. This is only for the deep aquifer. That's the aquifer that's currently experiencing seawater intrusion. And the other is chloride data, chloride being a measurement or an indication of seawater intrusion in some key monitoring wells. And we have a table that we'll provide also, but this is an aggregated version of this, what we call the water level metric, which is an average of water levels, and a chloride metric, which is a weighted average of chloride levels on the seawater front. Obviously, we had a very strong rainfall year. In the blue, you see the water level index as defined in the basin plan. And a number of years ago, that index finally came above seawater and is continuing to rise slowly. And you can see the upward trend over time. primarily due to reduced water consumption within the community. This data here, Spencer just reminded me, actually is a restatement of the fall data for water levels because we don't have the spring water levels yet. Thanks, Spencer. However, the chloride data is for this spring, and that is in the red. One of the things I would encourage the committee and the community to do is not to reach any set conclusions as you see this chloride data. We are looking for trends over time, and you can see we're in a fight against seawater intrusion here on the edge of the front. So is going to be two steps forward, one step back over time. Last fall, we got a piece of significantly bad news in a very high data point, driven particularly by a hit in one of our near coastal wells out on Pasadena Avenue near the Bay Fringe. And with a good rainfall year, those levels have dropped substantially in all those monitoring wells. They could come right back up in the fall. It's a snapshot in time. I don't think you take any set action on it. You just note it and know that we're looking for trends over a period of years, not over a period of 6 months.
Right. I have a question. Where is well LA-12 located? Because it's not on the grid map. It's not in that grouping there.
LA-12 is shown here as the district's 8th Street Lower Aquifer well. I'm sorry, that text is small. I'll just answer the question directly then. It's the district's 8th Street.
Okay, thank
well,
you.
Well, which is our primary production well for the district system.
Right. Other question is, why do we count LA-10 twice in the metric? What's the theory behind that?
So LA-10 or the Golden State's Resina well is right on the seawater front. And when the basin plan was drafted, it was decided that that well, because it is historically highly sensitive to seawater intrusion, would be one because it exists right in the deep part of the aquifer, right on the leading edge of the front. That's one that we want to heavily weight so that this metric would be very responsive to chlorides moving in and out. So it's weighted by a factor of two. Certainly the committee could reconsider that over time. And as you add a Cuesta by the Sea monitoring well, you may reconfigure this metric. But this is what we have in the basin plan.
Thank you.
Rob, this is a question I know we've discussed before, because the way that most people look at this or should look at this is fall, spring, where we are at that point. But yet we're doing the reports on an annual basis, which puts them out of sync. So is there some way that, and I understand why we're doing that, but is there some way we can put together basically two versions of this, one that's the annual and one that's the, you know what I'm trying to say.
I do, and I think staff can do that without putting more burden on our consultant, but we'll bring forward the annual report, and when we do that, maybe we'll have this data available as well, so people just don't walk away from the meeting not realizing
because
we have more current data.
As we've talked about before, it makes more sense what was the level before the rain quote-unquote rainy season and what was the level afterwards rather than doing it backwards.
I think that's a good point, and I think in general we should really be looking to the fall data as kind of the worst case data. So when you look at chlorides, you know, don't have a big party in the spring. Make sure you wait for that fall reading because it reflects summer pumping, no more rainfall. Although the creek is still flowing, it's been a great year so far.
Any other questions?
So is the metric that you provided, are those for the fall or spring only?
So the water level metric was calculated in the fall, and the chloride metric is based on the latest spring reading.
And so the historical data points, though, were they all spring or were they a mixture of the two? Do you know?
The water level is spring of last year.
Okay.
You're talking about the ones on the table, right?
Yeah,
ones on the table.
The only 2017 data is in the red in the chloride. The questions?
Nope. Okay, we'll go to public comment then. Anybody? Last chance. Okay. Close public comment. Any more discussion? I don't think we have. Does anybody have input other than what I just discussed about restructuring that? But anything else? Okay, Rob, we'll move on.
Great. We're always happy when chlorides go down, even if it's for a short period.
So 7D, the presentation on Los Osos Basin Salt and Nutrient Management Plan.
Yeah, we'll just take a quick check on time here. It is 2:30. We do have time for the next two items. Yep. The county, Kathy's got maybe a 10-15-minute presentation on salt and nutrient management, and I will get her set up here, and then we'll have time for our last two items.
Hello, thank you. My name is Kathy Martin with the County Public Works Department, and I'm presenting the Los Osos Salt Nutrient Management Plan. Okay, topics to cover is the recycled water policy, S&MP sources, recycled water use, goals and implementations, the conceptual model used for the S&MP, the anti-degradation analysis, the S&MP monitoring network, reports, and then next steps. So, overview for the last time that was presented, the recycled water policy encourages and provides guidance for use of recycled water. It's required by the S&MP for the basin. And the Salt Nutrient Management Plan will protect human health and beneficial uses for the basin. So, basically, the S&MP uses the two references were the main base for this, was the Treatment Plant Monitoring and Reporting Program, and the Los Osos BMC Annual Groundwater Report and Basin Plan. So these items were used to help as the base for this S&MP document. So the S&MP will be submitted every 3 years to the Central Coast Water Board. And the Central Coast Water Board plans to adopt a plan for their region's basin plan. So it will be part of their water quality report for the Central Coast. So the S&MP goals is the same and aligns with the Los Osos BMC to halt the extent of seawater intrusion, promote water conservation, provide sustainable water and water quality that we just discussed a moment. And S&MP implementations, we have the conceptual model first, then we do the management plan, the monitoring plan, implementation, we evaluate the data, we adapt and learn. So the whole S&MP will be doing adaptive management throughout the plant's life for the treatment plant. So the recycled water used in Los Osos basins. I don't have our O. Okay. So the green represents the agriculture. The yellow is the urban area for turf and landscape. And the brown and orange up there is the disposal areas for the Broderson and Bay Ridge. So from this, we create a conceptual model. This is the help with Clayton Harris doing the technical work for this. So we have a mixing cell which incorporates all the salt nutrients from the basin, such as seawater, nitrates, fertilizers, septic system returns, direct percolation, animal waste. And then we have water flowing out, such as groundwater, subsurface flows. And then we have cross-flow changes to the white cell down below. So this is your mass balance for the conceptual model. Oh, just to point out, the salt nutrient loading, we used chloride, nitrates, and TDS for this. TDS was picked because it's a common measure of groundwater salinity and represents the overall mineral content of a water basin. Okay, the conceptual model, we use compartments for this, for the basin. We have a perch area, which is the orange up there, the upper aquifer, which is represented with the yellow, and we have the lower aquifers in the blues. We divided it into the western central area and the lower aquifer in the eastern area. So from here, this is for the nitrate assimilate capacity. So the assimilate capacity represents current groundwater quality, and it's compared to the water quality objectives. For this, it's compared to the Title 22 for recycled water. So for nitrates, the allowable amount is 10 milligrams per liter. And our current, which was due from the compartments for the perch, is 15. 15 again for the upper, 2 for the lower, since nitrates are not in the lower aquifer. And then 6 in the eastern area, since we have agricultural area over there that uses fertilizer. From there, from the regs, you use 10% of that, so we increased it. And this is just the breakdown of the cross-section from the map view from here. As you can see, we did not use the seawater sill level because it would not reflect the groundwater basin. It would give us a bias high answer for chlorides. So we removed that section so we would have the true reflection of the groundwater basin. So with the SNMP, we had three scenarios for the conceptual model. We have baseline conditions with no treatment plant built and no management plans from 2012. So this would be your worst-case scenario if this didn't go through. We have the no further development. The prohibition zone is enforced. Construction of the treatment plant is done, and the Basin Management Committee is doing management plans. Then we have the build-out development, which is the prohibition zone is removed. Construction of the treatment plant is done, and there's more management plans being performed by the BMC. So with this, we jump into graphs for the anti-degradation analysis. And see, the top line is the blue line. It is the primary MCL. This is for nitrates, so it's 10 milligrams per liter. So it's the very top, and your scale goes down to the zero on the y-axis. Then for the 10% capacity, which we just reviewed, is the green line, which is the next line. This is at about 6.5 milligrams per liter for the 10% assimilate capacity. And your current NO and O3 data is the purple line there, which is right below the green line. So this will be happening if this is like the worst case scenario for comparison values for this. This is projected out from 2015 into 2040 is the projected 25-year span of this. Then you have no further development, which is the red line. Then population build out, which is another blue line. And then from there you see that everything is below the assimilate capacity for the nitrates. This is for the average basin for the groundwater there. So we're really good for nitrates for this. So the next one is for TDS. It follows a similar analysis. Get the primary MCL. It's 1,000 milligrams per liter. This was taken by the Central Coast Basin Plan water objectives for the watershed area. From here, we have the assimilate capacity at 500. And from there, you see from our calculations for the current no further development and population, but follows the similar line across. So for chlorides concentration, the trend basin average is similar. We use the 250 milligrams per liter for the Title 29 recycled water permit. And for the assimilate capacity, it's at 100 and everything else. You can see there's a shift in the lines variance a little bit, that it increases a little bit during population build-out for the basin at about 2040. So from this, this analysis shows that the basin groundwater quality will be doing really well. So for the SNMP monitoring reports, so this report will have the introduction and background, collection and compile appropriate data from existing programs, monitoring results, maps, tables, and figures will show, and the data interpolation, basin status, such as seawater intrusion, drought, and supply water, and the S&P Monitoring Program recommendations will be in there. And this report is submitted, again, every 3 years to the Central Coast Water Board. Okay, the stormwater monitoring report will also contain stormwater, surface water, and groundwater. So these will be highlighted in S&MP2 with the different management plans for them. For example, stormwater will be using municipal stormwater for the system MS4s when they're developed. For the surface water data, we'll be using the Morro Bay National Estuaries Program and the Environmental Monitoring Program for data from that. And from the groundwater programs, we will use the Groundwater Ambient Monitoring Assessment, the GAMA, the County Semi-Water Level Monitoring Program, and the Castrium Program. And you see the Title 22 Drinking Water Program. So these are all supplement data to help reinforce the stormwater, surface water, and groundwater monitoring that would be in the NSMP. So the basis for the groundwatering, again, is from the Los Angeles BMC Annual Groundwater Monitoring Report and from the Monitoring and Reporting Program, the appropriate data there for groundwater. And the coastal development permit, we have a recycled water management plan in there, and that is similar or the same as the monitoring and reporting program for the treatment plant. We do have a new program coming into place called the On-Site Wastewater Treatment System. It's a future countywide program. It's required by the treatment plant permit requirements. It's a countywide program, which should be coming out hopefully in 2018, and the County Planning Department is working on this plan currently. So for the monitoring in the S&MP, this is really aligns with the Los Angeles BMC data for their annual report. So we're using their data from the upper, lower, and freshwater requirements. So all these wells and water quality sampling will be reflected in the S&MP report. So for the Los Osos treatment plant, the monitoring data, we have about 25 wells out there right now monitoring. This is more in the upper aquifer for where the recycled water will be impacting. And from there, we have, at the Broadison, we have the 5 new wells located there, as talked about, discussed earlier. So the next steps for this S&MP, the report was just published online. It's on the Los Osos Wastewater Treatment site website under news. And we have June 6th is the last day for public comments, please. And June 11th, I would like to go to the County Board of Supervisors and have this submitted in. And July 18th, I plan to submit to the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board. So for any information, please read the lovely report. It's about 500 pages long. I will prepare an executive summary later on once it's adopted by the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board. And for you, just leave a Los Osos Wastewater Project Mission Statement. I thought it was nice to have on there. And just thank you. And please, I'll have my business card. Please submit to me written questions or comments. I appreciate it, and I'll get back to you on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Bill?
No.
Okay, we'll go to public comment then on this item.
Lindy Owen again. I guess I wanted to ask why the summary would not be prepared before the regional board gets it. Seems like they should have the summary to look at as well as the public if we're able to comment. And then, so it looks to me like we're currently at like 8 milligrams of nitrate. Is that kind of the average that we're seeing?
For the base, let me go to the graph 1 second. Just 1 second, let me look at the graph. So right now for the average basin, we have it that the current is at 6 right now. So that includes the upper, lower, and everything combined for the average result.
So you don't just take the upper aquifer, which is why we built
the
sewer
have this,
plant?
So in the plan, we do have this compartmentalized by the different sections. I just didn't know how much time I had going through this. So in this other figure right through here, we have partial aquifer, upper aquifer, lower aquifer, western, central area. So all those, we do have figures and graphs in the appendixes in the report.
Okay. But apparently we're not looking like we have high nitrates in the upper aquifer.
For the perch aquifer, it says the current one's 15 milligrams per liter. The upper aquifer has it at 15, too, okay. For the assembly capacity analysis.
Okay, so I guess I would like to see the summary come before the public before it goes to the regional board. And I have another note I can't make sense of, so.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Okay, we'll close public comment. Thank you very much. And then Rob, 7E, the Water Conservation Program Update.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a standing item, although we have, I think, some pretty substantial update to give today. You probably remember working through a Water Conservation Implementation Plan addendum back in November, where this committee produced and endorsed a set of rebate measures to enhance water conservation within the basin. And we were primarily looking for funding for those measures, and the county has been working through the policy implications of providing that funding as part of the wastewater project. That discussion is now going to be culminating in an item that will come before the Board of Supervisors, we believe, in late June next month to update their rebate program as part of the wastewater project to include many of the measures that were endorsed by this committee. So pleased to report that. Specifically, the county will be looking to get funding authorization for those items that have a clear nexus with the wastewater project. And it includes all of the indoor items that were suggested by this committee. It also includes some select outdoor items, including a substantial rebate of $500 for the installation of a complete gray water system, as well as a modest rebate of $50 for conversion of a laundry discharge to landscape. And then a new item that really was an offshoot of one of the committee's suggestions, and that is for recycled water irrigation in commercial and institutional facilities to assist in the conversion from potable water to recycled water for those facilities, because that conversion process can be costly. And so that's a negotiated item on a case-by-case basis. I did want to note that the county was and is open to residential outdoor measures when they relate to recycled water specifically. Today, the state is not allowing the application of recycled water on residential properties, in spite of those of us who think that they should be allowing that and want them to allow that. The state's current perspective is that there's too much risk of cross-connection if this occurs on individual residential properties. At such time as that perspective changes, I think the county would be willing to consider revisiting their rebate program to include some of that in their measures. I would certainly invite Mark to expand upon my staff note in any way that he sees fit, but it looks like this will be coming before the board quite soon.
So, we have a date of June 20th at the Board of Supervisors. It's been suggested as a consent item because there's no financial budget adjustments required. But the date and the placement on the agenda are decisions made by the county administrator when they set the agenda. But for right now, we should count on June 20th, I think.
Thanks, Mark.
Question, Mark. Yeah. Why did you change the option on toilets that are currently 1.6? We thought one or less should be, and you changed it was changed to 1.28. What's the reasoning behind bringing that level up?
That actually is in the BMC's memorandum to the county requesting that change. The way it was set up before is if you had a 1.6, which is the requirement to connect to right. the sewer, but you still wanted to change it, you would have to go to a 1.0 or below.
Right.
But the BMC's memorandum to the county suggested changing that up to 1.28.
I guess I missed that.
Yeah, at the time, the technology is available to get down to 1.0 for some. I mean, I certainly am up for the latest and greatest. For some, they've got testimony that the 1.28s perform better, and that's why we add a little more flexibility to that item, though I would encourage people to consider the 1.0s.
I remember in the before the BMC, but the discussions when we were discussing the wastewater project, we talked about that, and a vendor made a approach to the county that he would replace all the toilets for the $5 million, whatever, with 0.8 gallons per flush toilets. Obviously, that didn't go long, but I got to tell you, those 0.8 gallon per flush toilets work very well.
Thank you, Bill.
You can get them at Home Depot.
Any other questions? Okay, we'll take public comment on this item then, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. My name is Jeff Edwards, and I must admit I'm thoroughly confused by this item. This appears to be getting way too complicated. Water conservation should be, and the participation in water conservation should be easy. There's an apparent obsession with tying conservation to the wastewater project, the so-called nexus. I believe there should be one plan for Los Osos, including all relevant indoor and outdoor conservation measures. I just don't understand this at all. For one, where's any of the money coming from for these rebates? That's entirely unclear to me. Also, there's reference to providing rebates to converting, and I'm quoting, to recycled water irrigation at individual residential locations. And it's not included, as Mr. Miller indicated, because the current it's currently precluded by state regulation. Well, if I'm understanding this, this means purple pipe to residential units, and we don't have purple pipe to individual homes. And it's not contemplated, as far as I know, because it's cost prohibitive. So that's never going to happen. Again, I just wonder where the money's coming from. What I've suggested in the past and what I advocate now is, again, one plan for everyone, indoor and outdoor, inside the prohibition, outside the prohibition zone. And as your staff report indicates, this Basin Management Committee should recommend to the county inclusion of all measures for an addendum to the Water Conservation Implementation Plan within an updated version of Title 19. That's what I think you should be doing. So, again, I really don't know what this is about, why the connection to the wastewater project, or where any of the money's coming from. Thank you.
Hi, Yael Corin. I would like to ask to include also, or why it's not included, the rainwater capture in the water preservation. Since, of course, when we don't have rain, it's a moot point, but when we do have rain, at least it can sit there for longer. I mean, the problem with gray water is that we cannot keep it. And so as far as we are concerned, for instance, my family, we decided against it because we can't force our garden to take the water today if that's not the day, but we can keep the rainwater for a long time. So I'm just suggesting that will be included as well, and it is costly to put it in.
Thank you. Lindy?
I would have to agree a little bit with what Jeff Edwards talked about. It does seem like we're getting into different conservation programs. We have individual water companies doing them. We have this group doing it, and then we still have, and you know, I'm never going to accept the version that the $2.5 million that wasn't spent. It's on my sewer bill, and that $2.5 million that remains in the conservation funds, I don't care what Mr. Gibson says about it, that money never was spent on conservation, and I still think that it should be brought back in to the program, because that was the whole intent of what the Coastal Commission requested it for, was to use it up front and use it right away so that we could start saving water. I wanted to also say I would like to see an alarm system. I don't know what they cost, but something for outdoor water. When you have a leak, and it affects indoor, but to have an alarm system set on your incoming water pipe, I just think that's essential. We have accidents. We don't know when we have leaks, and sometimes it takes 2 months to find out. So for some people that would prefer to have something like that, I'd love to see that looked into and see how expensive they are and how efficient they are. The outdoor gray water systems, I hope that in time that we prepare that. California is not over the drought, even if Governor Brown has declared it so. We will have a long, hot summer. We have winds coming, and we're going to be using a lot of water to put out fires. So, being a realist, I would like to see that possibility be included, that we could have individual pump stations. We currently have the one on 10th Street, that individuals could come and bring a water truck that they hire to bring it back to their septic tank repurposed. And I also think the idea of the rainwater harvest, it takes a 550-gallon tank to make it even reasonable. And those cost about $500. So those, if you want to look at rainwater, I think getting larger tanks on people's property is a good idea. And I think that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Lindy. Lynette.
Lynette Tornotsky. I was looking at the picture in the basin management plan of the recycled water pipe coming back into town, and I noticed there's a sizable gap coming down 10th Street to get to the school. And I'm wondering if there's any nexus to the wastewater plant and this negotiated thing that you're talking about in the blue on the chart provided. Is there some kind of a deal that would happen between the CSD and the county to build that pipe? I'm just really confused where the money would come from, that $2.5 million that Lindy was talking about. Does that play into this at all? I don't understand where the money is coming from. It seems like there's such a disparity of entities. The CSD is one kind of entity, although it's a water company, it's different than Golden State, which is privately, it's a publicly traded water company. And then there's Rocky Setting with the golf course, and that's a totally different sort of arrangement for a negotiation. It looks like the Purple Pipe comes right to Howard Avenue, so I'm wondering, what is the holdup? Why isn't he hooking up? Is he waiting for a rebate from this thing? It's really unclear as to why none of this has happened yet. I understand you did say that the negotiations between the water companies are going on, but what about a private negotiation with Rocky Setting and the golf course? I mean, it's right there. The pipe is on Howard Avenue, and it's right across from the pond he uses, so I'm wondering what's holding that up. I guess the last question would be, is the lack of an HCP and the community plan impeding any of this work to go forward to get these purple pipes actually working? I realize there's not quite enough water yet, but hopefully there soon will be, and is lack of water holding this up as well? Thanks.
Thank you. Richard.
Thank you.
Richard Margetson. The original plan that the county put together for the wastewater project had a chart something like this in it. But it, part of that chart had a projection of how many units would be rebated within each category. There were so many toilets that supposedly were going to be done, so many. Most of the people in this room have heard me talk about how the 2,000 washing machines that were projected that came from a consultant that was paid for, we never even came close to hitting that number of 2,000. I think it's a little over 100 right now. So could we possibly get an idea of how many? Is there a way of finding out? Probably not. It's probably all theory and assumptions, but how many rebates might be asked for in each category, how realistic they are, and you know what the projected savings were, because the original chart had so many toilets would eventually save so many gallons per annually of consumption in each category for shower heads, aerators, washing machines, toilets, on down the line. I think that'd be helpful. I think it'd also be helpful in getting you to a number of what the total cost of this could eventually be.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, we'll close public comment. I would like to respond myself to the Lynette's question about the golf course, et cetera. That was already covered in Mark's discussion about the priorities under the Basin Management Plan and how we're implementing those. It's just the process that we're going through to take us to get through those. So I don't know if you want to touch base on those again, but I think that was discussed once already, so you might just want to do a quick update on those items.
Great. Thank you. Just responding briefly to Mr. Edwards' comments. So the funding source for this will be a county program under the wastewater project, and not a BMC-funded program, which is why it's limited to those items that are tied to the wastewater project. The idea of the residential units wasn't to have a direct purple pipe connection necessarily. We had looked for the repurposing of tanks to store hauled recycled water in our discussions back in November, but at this point that's not something that the state is supporting.
Yeah, and I think just to follow up on that, I mean, it needs to be crystal clear that there's only so many things you can do with purple pipe water at this point, and they can't be provided to single-family residential units. They can only be provided to commercial properties or HOAs.
Right. Yeah, well said. Rainwater capture, because there was not a direct link to the wastewater project, is not included in this county program at this point. We are still looking for funding for rainwater capture, however that comes to fruition. We do think that's still a very important element within the community that, as I think Lindy mentioned, at least 500 gallons was our minimum amount, and you get a little more for 1,000 gallons. But at this point, that is not a funded program. It's still very important. Lindy didn't question the alarm system. That is something that we are looking into. And we could actually, I think, maybe benefit from some of Golden State's help in that. I talked briefly to Golden State's statewide conservation person who is researching that technology as well. In areas where you have automated meter reading, or AMR, you can do it now. Get a text message when something out of bounds occurs. Many of our meters out here are AMR ready by a change of register, but it's not in town yet. So maybe, Mark, that's one you and I can take on, because I know there's some strap-on technologies now that are better than they were in the past, and so I think we should be talking about that as a way to give people feedback if, hey, over the last week you're double what your normal average is. I think it's a very important thing we should be talking about. With respect to Lynette, I think you answered it, though I don't think there is a gap that there's currently purple pipe extended to each school within the community. So maybe it's a problem with the map that needs to be needs to be updated.
Yeah, I was just referring to the timing, and that's negotiations are ongoing right now and the priorities that are in the Basin Management Plan.
Right, and I don't think the HCP is holding up that process of delivering purple pipe water, though the Salt Nutrient Management Plan is one of the elements that's required as part of that. And then Richard was asking about a projection of the number of units. I don't know if that's going to be something you include in your staff note. I know, yeah, previous projections on washing machines were quite short. But whether that's, I know you have an overall pot of funding for this. Maybe you could speak.
Well, I would point out that, yeah, projections of what might get used are interesting based on some sort of broad average. But the focus has always been on the mandate necessarily, again, back because of state law and the nexus under Prop 218. So the goal is to achieve and maintain something less than the 50 gallons a day per capita indoor use.
Yeah. And I did want to say, from a public perception, it is confusing when there are multiple overlapping programs. The committee did ask us to do a little bit of research into our bylaws as to whether we could have a community group that would help us with public outreach. We can do that. The nuts and bolts of that we'd like to bring back at a subsequent meeting, but we have confirmed that this committee can form additional groups that would be able to help us disseminate some of this information. And in our next meeting, we'll come back with some specifics on that. We're trying to work through some of the logistics on the legal side. And I did want to also respond to Mr. Edwards on the Title 19 program. That might be a program where you could capture conservation measures that don't have any nexus with the wastewater project. For instance, rainwater capture, all the measures listed here might be a place where you could capture those things. Staff continues to mention that in the staff notes.
I think one other thing you need or should be clarified is, and I think you touched on it, but I just want to make sure that it's crystal clear what properties are eligible for these rebates, because you did touch on it that it was part of the wastewater treatment plant, but I mean there are parameters, so you might just want to discuss who's eligible for these.
Right. It's my understanding that you have to be one of the properties who are either connected or about to be connected to the wastewater project to be eligible.
So that was my point. So it does not extend to the areas outside the prohibition zone.
Right, though Title 19 would in right. That case. Yeah.
Is that it?
I was just going to point out we're changing terms from prohibition zone to wastewater service area.
Oh, okay.
That's more of a...
I'm showing my age now, I guess. What is that now? Wastewater service area?
Wastewater service area.
Shouldn't it be called the recycled plant service area?
Well, it would be, but the map in the coastal permit says just... recycled... Or doesn't say... It says wastewater service.
Okay. All right. So I guess that brings us to the end. So we have public comment on items not on the agenda.
Lindy Owen, I still wanted to bring up, first, by not doing a 218, does that mean that people inside the prohibition zone pay for this monitoring? And people outside continue to pay nothing? Okay. That's...
I'm not shaking my head. We'll answer the question. I'm acknowledging the question. I'm not giving
you an answer. Anyway, I want that to be clarified. And I think, if anything, I would like to see an exchange because, again, it is a known fact that when you put a monitoring device on a well, that you have an automatic almost 20% reduction in water use because the awareness factor comes in and people become more careful. The fact that we can't legally force them to do it, I would like to see, first, how much does it cost? Once a year monitoring to see how much they use and the possibility of them reducing how much water they're using as their share of the basin management, because that really is not fair. We're being bombarded with sewer costs. We're getting the water increases from our individual companies. We're having to pay for this. I just totally object to the fact that they get a clear ride, anybody outside of the prohibition zone, because we're already penalized for existing, I guess.
So anyway, I really think that we need to put these monitoring devices onto these wells and get a program going, whether it's if they'll agree to go along with it. But I would like to see some teeth in how they contribute to this basin management. At this point, it doesn't look like they have a thing to do with it, which is not fair. Thank you.
Thank you, Lindy. Any other comments, items not on the agenda? Oh, yes.
I just would like to second that and say that we're all using the same water source. So there's no reason, and some of them have very large properties. So they're using a lot of water.
Thank you. Any other? Okay, we'll close public comment. Would Rob or Mark like to discuss that one, the monitoring of the wells?
Right, I'll take my best effort at it. As it stands right now, as Kathy pointed out, the Salt and Nutrient Management Plan has an annual monitoring requirement, or actually it's a three-year requirement. So that monitoring is a compilation of other monitoring that's already going on. Two of those programs are wastewater programs, one through the WDDRs and the regional board permit, and one through the coastal permit. So focus the question in, who's going to gather up all the annual reports and put them into an individual three-year report? Right now, the county hasn't officially stated who's going to pay for that. My expectation, however, is because it relates directly to the recycled water permit, it will fall eventually back to the wastewater customers.
And Mr. Chair, if I might.
And you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but the State Department of Water Resources requires a well report, even though they're not metered. It does require a consumption report from well users, and that information is available. So,
For ag wells, if I'm right, yes. Mr. Chair, many of those are unmetered. Right. Currently within the...
But they do have to, ag do have to provide that. The residentials are the ones that
right.
are really...
Ag, if they have a water diversion permit, have to report their water diversions on an annual basis now. If they are pure groundwater users, they're not currently required to report. And
I mean, the county ordinance now requires monitoring of all new wells.
Of new wells, that's
right.
That's true. The district's perspective has been that all extractions from the basin should be ultimately metered, Mr. Chair.
And I think that's the goal of the committee, is to have all of the wells ultimately metered. So,
yes.
So we've heard that comment, and we're working on it.
Yeah, and to go to the 218, Lindy is correct that until such time as there is a special tax measure that burdens folks outside the urban areas to pay something they don't currently pay anything, and that's an inequity that is of certain concern.
Well, and that was one of our reasons for including the quote-unquote fringe area. The fringe areas in the basin, because everybody would be paying their fair share. But without having those properties included, that's another factor in that regard too. So. Okay, so then I guess we'll go ahead and adjourn. Our next meeting is scheduled for June 21st. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.